Hello, and welcome to the podcast series Ready, Set, Game, The Rhetoric of Games, a podcast created by Emory University students in David Morgan's Play, Make, Write, Think class.
Over the course of the series, we will approach games as operating within the larger media ecology and attempt to diagram the competing forces at work within that landscape.
In each episode, we will play and analyze a specific game with an eye toward its rhetorical situation and the role it plays within the broader medium.
We'll focus on the way these games encourage players to think in order to move through them and what sorts of decisions the games force us to make.
As we probe the underlying rules of game systems and speculate about what's going on underneath the hood, we'll ponder where they are taking us and to what ends.
How do these games encourage certain types of problem solving and learning? What sorts of values do they promote? What sorts of new perspectives do we gain in the playing?
So buckle up and come play with us.
Hi, my name is Amir Martin.
And I'm Austin Carter. And today we will be discussing the party game, Paranoia.
In this podcast episode, we are going to dive into Johnson's idea of probing. In fact, people tend to overlook paranoia as just a messy game that people play. But it's more than that. Paranoia is at the epitome of probing, and with the lack of rules, many can manipulate to play the game in several ways. So keep on watching to see how this version of paranoia plays out in a time of pandemic and quarantine.
Being a game of probing, it requires you to test the limits of your fellow players and push the boundaries of your questions. It is a game entirely consisting of trial and error while experimenting with how you can achieve your own personal goal.
So, I know everybody's asking, how do you play the game? Well, first, you need four more players.
And then one of those players starts off by asking another player a question that only they can hear. The question must produce another name that is in the room.
Then the player who's asked the question must say another player's name out loud that best answers the question. However, they cannot say their own name or the name of a person who asked them the question.
Next, you have to retrieve a coin tosser. Before tossing the coin, the player who is asked the question must say heads or tails. If it lands on the side that the person said, the player does not have to say the question out loud. However, if it lands on the side that the person did not say, they have to answer the question.
And finally, the player who is asked a question then asks a different player a question, and the game repeats.
Now, we start off by playing the game with a strong balance of positive and really shady or messy energy. And gradually, the game got even more messy.
Yeah, for sure. For example, one question that was asked in the beginning was, like, who do you think dresses the best? Which then slowly moved to, who do you think are the least likely to be friends with when college is over? To who do you think is the fakest? To who do you think is the biggest hoe? And it makes me believe that, you know, people were using paranoia as a means of confessing and getting things that were on their chest off on a medium that gave them an opportunity. It was a platform that allowed them to voice their honest opinions where they would otherwise feel uncomfortable to.
Yeah, I also noticed that virtually, there was still quite a bit of tension. Paranoia is usually played in a face-to-face setting, making it tense. People are scared of the questions asked because they have to face the person that they answered with. And those waiting to see if their name would be called are nervous about whether or not they're the answer to the unknown question.
Yeah, I thought, you know, that being that we were now playing this virtually, the tension would dissipate because, you know, people would not have to face each other physically. However, people would like hide their face on the phone calls and even have an urge to hang up as they were fearful that they were going to be the answer to the question. I mean, it was Camila's turn to ask Sophia a question. And then automatically Austin, Matt, and Oscar said things like, "Oh man," or, "Oh, I'm nervous," as if they knew they were going to be an answer to a shady question. The round ended with Matt's name being called, and the question was, "Who do you think is going to be poor after college?" Sophia immediately apologized and said, "Wait, I don't think anybody's going to be broke after college. You are all my friends. I just had to say an answer." And that's when I realized that it was still tense and fearful for people, even in a virtual setting.
Yeah, so this can show how probing comes into play in a multitude of ways. For one, paranoia does not have a strict set of rules. It does have some baseline rules, like having to whisper your question or saying a name in the room and flipping a coin, but it lacks specificity in the rules following for its flexibility. For example, it doesn't specify whether the game has to have a specific objective. There's no rule saying there has to be an icebreaker or people have to try to hook up or you have to be brutally honest. So this allows for people to navigate the game with their own objective.
Yeah, for sure. I specifically navigated the environment by going first, and I chose to use a messy question. Once I saw that, you know, everybody gave me the reaction I wanted, which was they allowed me to say the question, I realized that they were okay with using paranoia as a means of messiness and to be honest. So I was comfortable with asking a messy question. My goal for the game was to be messy in order to, you know, spice it up. I was slowly asking messy questions with each round and encouraging others to be messy just as well. So I just wanted a world of messiness for paranoia. But one of my other players, Sophia, wanted to be nice. So she tried to deviate from the messiness I had and ask kind questions like, who dresses the best?
Now, my goal was not to be nice and sweet. I was just trying to have a good time during quarantine and get some laughs out. So I asked, what was the worst smell of everyone on the call? Yeah, maybe I was trying to get a little bit of tea, but obviously it's messy. And it's a low-stakes question that got everyone laughing. But then we have Oscar, who wanted to use the game as a medium for confession. Mm-hmm. He had a crush on a girl in the group and used questions that deviated away from messiness and more towards honesty, so everyone in the group would know about his crush.
Then you had the reaction of the people who were called, but the questions did not get out. That is, if you said one side of the coin and it landed on that side. That left them really nervous, defensive, and maybe even a little worrisome of why they were the answer. So obviously, no matter if paranoia is played virtually or in person, it still brought up similar reactions and feelings of tension.
Now, how does this relate to probing? Well, players are constantly trying to feel out the other players to see if they can ask a certain type of question. When Oscar was trying to confess his crush to everyone, I figured it probably wasn't the best time to say something to make everyone act all goofy.
Yeah, I completely agree. Honestly, you have to, like, test the limits. Everyone comes into paranoia with their own personal goal. I mean, for the game we played, Austin, we all did. And you have to see when your goal best fits to be attempted at. My goal was easily attempted since I was the first to go. But even when people like Sophia, who wanted to be friendly, had to navigate the game with sub-goals because sometimes her friendly demeanor just didn't fit at that time.
Yeah, in addition to probing, all of us also use telescoping, which is where a player completes several smaller goals with a much larger goal in mind. In all honesty, I really just wanted to get everyone to spill a little bit of tea. So in order to do this, I tried to steer the conversation towards a more lighthearted mood while roasting people by asking a few non-serious questions.
You know what, Austin? I did not even think about paranoia being a game of telescoping, but you are absolutely right. I mean, I definitely think it is important to have those smaller goals in mind in order to achieve your agenda. For example, my goal was to be messy, but I cannot simply go to the game head on with the shadiest of shady questions, like who is the biggest hoe in the group? I mean, I had to start off with a semi-shady question that gave a hint to the other players of my agenda, but also did not completely steer them away from the game in fear of embarrassment or, you know, harsh statements being made about them. It was a slippery slope that I had to maneuver my way through to reach my ultimate goal while still respecting the agenda of the other players.
Yeah, it wasn't just us. Everyone was telescoping, even though they didn't quite realize it. Even Sophia, she couldn't say something as bluntly nice as, who do you think is the kindest person in our group? No, she tried to lead into it with the question about who's the best dressed. As people are telescoping, they're also probing. The smaller goals that they are attempting to achieve is also their means for probing. The players ask those questions both to feel out the room and lead other players into their subject so they can ultimately achieve that goal.
You know what? The craziest part is that when you think of paranoia, you think of simply young adults being drunk and blunt. This is their time to shine. But I've played paranoia in multiple ways, and each time was different. This time, we were all sober, and people were playing with their own agendas, not just one big agenda, causing Proby and Tusculum to be needed more than other games. In fact, we were playing virtually, and usually it's played in person, so it was very different.
Yeah, I saw that too. I mean, this was my very first time playing Paranoia, and I immediately noticed how everyone was trying to play the game a certain way. It seemed like it was more than a simple sit back and laugh party game like Cards Against Humanity. There was a personal goal that existed outside of the scope of the game, and the players used those two tools to accomplish them.
Yeah, for sure. So the next time you think about playing Paranoia, think more carefully about how you navigate. What is your goal? How do your fellow players react? It is more than being a game of fun, or messy, or honest. When you zoom in, you recognize it is a game of decision-making, goal-setting, and predicting.